We are happy to greet you, beloved friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring you the third talk on the Lord's Supper. Today we would like to point out that the emblems, bread and the cup, are used in both 1 Corinthians 10, where it speaks of the Lord's table, and also in 1 Corinthians 11, which deals with the Lord's Supper. However, we note one difference. When speaking of the Lord's table, the cup and the blood come first in 1 Corinthians 10, while at the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, the bread is broken first. It will also be noted that the bread at the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 10 refers to the church, which is the body of Christ, while at the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, the bread speaks of Christ's literal body, which was offered in death on the cross. It might help us in our thinking if we pointed out further that the Lord's table is a table which the Lord has spread for Christians in 1 Corinthians 10, while the Lord's Supper is a feast we spread for the Lord at His instructions when we remember Him in 1 Corinthians 11. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." That was certainly the Lord's table or provision for His people. In a similar way, the Lord has given Christians access to a table upon which the Lord Jesus and all spiritual blessings in Him are spread before us. There we have, in the language of the Old Testament, the manna, the roast lamb, the old corn of the land, and all of these speak of Christ. These two names, the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, are often used interchangeably, and we must admit that they can be because they are very closely linked together. The supper is really the outward expression of the table. Those who sit at the Lord's table in fellowship with Him have a right to partake of the Lord's Supper. While baptism and fellowship in the local church are very important, neither of them gives us the right to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is for those who sit at His table or for Christians in fellowship with Him. If we had visited with Paul the city of Corinth in his day, we would have found three different kinds of worship. There three are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10. At the heathen temple, we would have found people worshiping idols, and with that, Paul says demons. At the Jewish synagogue, we would have found people carrying out Judaism or the Old Testament religion, while at the gathering of the church, we would have seen them partaken of the Lord's Supper. The outward symbol of each company of worshipers was different. Images or idols would be seen at the heathen gathering. The Jewish altar was always prominent in Judaism, especially in their temple in Jerusalem, and the Lord's Supper would be the outward expression of Christ's death and second coming. Paul is speaking of these three groups of worshipers, speaking individually of them, said, "A Christian could not worship at the heathen temple because they worshipped idols, and with it sacrificed two idols. Therefore, in verse 21, we read, 'You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils.' Then in verse 18, he speaks of Israel and their altar, and he said, 'They which eat of the sacrifices are partakers of that altar.' If you would take time to read Leviticus 3, you will find that a peace offering was brought by some offering. The altar was God's table, and that was His food put upon it. They always offered the fat of the sacrifice to God because it pictured the inward life and obedience of Christ, and only God could understand that obedience. The fat spoke of the health of the animal. Then you will find the shoulder and the breast of the animal were weighed before the Lord and at His command given to the priest. And then thirdly, every clean person, including the offerer, could eat of the sacrifice. Thus, they had fellowship at God's table, the altar. It was the fellowship of God with His people in Old Testament times. The altar was a very significant place in Israel. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:21 that the Lord has a table at which only Christians have a right to eat. We ask, what is the food of that table? And the answer is Christ. In John 6, he said, we must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood in order to get eternal life. And the word eat there means the same as receiving Christ in John 1 and 12, and believing on Christ in John 3, 16, or drinking of the water that he would give in John 7, 37, 8. We must eat or appropriate by faith Christ's body, which was wounded to save us, and his blood, which was shed to put away our sins. If we do not, we cannot be Christians. That's what Christ meant when he took the cup at the Lord's Supper and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We read, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Old Testament sacrifices on Jewish altars made an atonement or a covering for sin. But Christ's blood takes sin away forever. We read, his blood cleanses from all sin. And that's the foundation of Christianity. If we are wrong there, we're wrong everywhere. Here in 1 Corinthians 10:16, we read, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ, or the church? The bread has a twofold meaning. The Lord's Supper speaks of Christ's literal body in the bread, that body that was given in death, but it also represents the church, which is his body in 1 Corinthians 10:17. And there we read, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. I would like to remind you, dear people, who think so much of your denominations, there are no denominations in the Bible. It is one body, one church, that is represented in the Lord's Supper. A denominational table is unknown in Scripture. So wherever the table is set up, it must be considered the Lord's table. Those who sit at the Lord's table and are members of his body have a right to partake of the supper. One of our hymns says, we are one with everyone who loves his name. Those who are in fellowship with God at his table are the only ones who have a right to partake of the Lord's supper. The cup of blessing is the cup of redemption. No one can ever have God's blessing unless he has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. In Christ's parable about the man without a wedding garment, that man was cast out of the supper. An unclean person has no standing before a holy God. We must first be cleansed by Christ's blood before we have acceptance in his presence. Some have thought it is proper to have one and only one cup at the Lord's Supper, because it is used in the singular. Verse 16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Did you notice in verse 21 it said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The cup of devils meant partaking of the worship of the idolaters. The cup of the Lord doubtless refers not so much to the container, but to the contents of the cup. The blood is the ground of Christian fellowship. And in the many places Christians meet, there must be many cups because they meet all over the world. Yet, it is the cup of blessing to each one. When Christ took the cup, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I might say also that as I have been helped to see, it does not matter too much what kind of bread is used at the Lord's Supper. It represents the body of the Lord Jesus, but also his body, the church, which still has leaven or sin in it. Paul said, I have noted before that the Lord Jesus took bread and broke it. It is far more important to discern the Lord's body and to remember that all Christians are one in Christ when we partake of it. Because Christ said all of his disciples should eat, and he said, drink ye all of it. The main part of the instructions seem to lie in the exhortation, this do in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. Note, please, the words this do and the words as often as you do it. It is not a very big thing to do. Oh, just take a little of the bread and a little sip of the cup. But the Lord counts it a big thing in his sight when he sees his people doing it. However, someone might ask, should we not be living right in order to do it? Most certainly Christians should live right at all times. If not, they are to confess their sins and turn away from them. He did not say, let a man examine himself. But he didn't say, let him examine himself and stay at home. No, it says, examine himself and so let him eat. The Lord wants true Christians to eat. If you know you are born again, are saved, and you're living right, what answer will you ever give your Lord when he says, this do, and you don't do it? One preacher acknowledged to me that he sort of hated that Sunday to come when they partook of the Lord's Supper because it sort of cut his sermons short. He thought more of his sermon and preaching than he did of giving joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus, apparently. And some Christians prefer to cling to an old unscriptural church rather than obey their blessed Lord. Well, may the Lord grant that we shall be right in our living and that we shall do it in the right way. It's a great privilege for those who are saved to remember their Lord. And he says, do this until I come. Shall we pray? Father, bless thy word, and may each one who is a Christian have a greater desire to do this because the Lord Jesus has requested. We pray in his worthy name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening, and God bless you.